Alex, we need to go now. We need to go now, okay? We need to evacuate. We need to get the hell out of here. There's mobs in the street. There's disorder. There's people with guns. This is a seriously dangerous situation. I've packed up the car. We need to go now. Well, surely if we need to go now, I would have received a notification from the government telling us we needed to go now, and I've received no such notification. Alex, there is no government, okay? There is no government. This is the end. This is the end of civilization. This is the collapse. This is disorder. This is it. This is the zombie apocalypse. We need to get the hell out of here now, immediately, or we're going to get seriously bloody injured. Well, surely if we were to get seriously bloody injured, then we would be able to go to a hospital and the NHS would treat us and everything would be okay. Alex, there is no NHS. There's no hospitals. There's no infrastructure. There's no nothing, okay? The world has been hit by an enormous... This is an apocalypse, Alex. There's a volcano has erupted. Everything has collapsed into disorder. We need to get the hell out of here now. This is a seriously violent situation. Well, surely if it was a seriously violent situation, then the police would come in and help to disperse the violence and or organise everything so everything would be okay. There is no police, Alex. There's no police, okay? Do you understand? This is the end. This is the absolute collapse of the situation. We need to go. We need to get our hell out of here now. We need to get out. We need to go. And while we're at it, I mean, tell Jack that he needs to go with us as well. Well, actually, the pronoun that Jack has chosen to use is she, so it's very insulting to her that you choose to use that pronoun. Actually, I find it a little bit offensive. Look, whatever Jack finds offensive, I don't care. He needs to go now. As I've explained to you, this is very bigoted. She prefers to go by the pronouns of she. So, Alex, we've got to go! Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Now, today, I would like to talk about, to develop my last video, and I would like to talk about the collapse of civilization. Now, you may have seen in the last video that one... roadmap for what's going to happen is that we become stupider and stupider and stupider, but the people on the right become stupider less quickly, and therefore the right flips, the elite flips over to being right wing, and in the context of the breakdown of civilization, you will end up with basically on the one side very low IQ hell, which will degenerate into Darwinian chaos, and on the other side people that are genetically conservative, genetically right wing, and genetically intelligent, banding together into a kind of Byzantium, a neo-Byzantium, where a much smaller component of civilization will hold out against the chaos surrounding it, as happened with the collapse of Rome. Now, that is the optimistic viewpoint. And so today I want to look more at the negative, the pessimistic viewpoint. This is another thing that we look at, myself and our squire, J.O.A. Rayner Hills, in our book, The Past as a Future Country, The Coming Conservative Demographic Revolution. There are problems with comparing our civilizational declension to that of the decline of Rome. The first is that they were at a much lower level of development when they went into collapse. In essence, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. We will be able to become much more stupid, much less intelligent, by the time we actually collapse back into harsh Darwinian conditions. Because at the moment, if our IQ has decreased by about 20 points since 1880, and even if our IQ goes down to 85 on average, if it's 100 now, by the end of the century, we will still have a relatively much more complex ecology than they had. And so we will be able to carry on until our IQ is much lower. Perhaps our average IQ will be 70 before we collapse back into by which time people are too stupid to be able to run machines or run the robots or whatever it happens to be, keep the lights on, and thus we collapse back into harsh Darwinian conditions. So that will be we will be much stupider than they were when they collapsed back into those conditions. So that means things will be worse. Secondly, we are much sicker than they are. We are in dysgenics. We are literally selecting against health. What predicts having lots of children is not just low IQ. Low IQ genetically correlates with genetic heart problems, strokes, obesity, and basically genetic poor health. So you have, when we collapse, you will have a massive proportion of the population that is utterly reliant on the fruits of high civilization, such as a complex health service and so on, in a way that simply wasn't the case in the past, when no such innovation existed. Even with the time of Rome, as far as we know, the health service was fairly basic. The third thing is that we are not passing on, because we have become such a complex civilization, such a high civilization, we are not passing on useful skills. There is a kind of decadence involved. So when Rome collapsed, what happened was that the cities collapsed, and lots of people that did jobs which were reliant on being able to produce an excess of resources, which meant that lots and lots of people didn't have to do farming because they were so efficient that they could produce all of this food, which meant that people could innovate and do other things, such as being a blacksmith or whatever, making things, living in the towns. And we are in a population where the overwhelming proportion of us do not do anything that directly relates to food. When we can't produce enough food anymore because we're too stupid to be able to produce enough food for the size of the population that we have, then more people have to go back into producing food. But those skills that involve directly producing food are not passed on. Even in my grandparents' generation, people who did some job that wasn't directly producing food still produced food for themselves. They would do gardening, they would grow vegetables in their garden, that sort of thing. They would know how to do these very basic things. These skills are not passed on. It's now got to a point in Finland where they're not even passing on joined up writing. So who knows? Will they stop passing on writing? And what will happen then when the assumption you can only write using a computer? So the important skills are not being passed on. This means when the collapse happens, very few people will, when we have to return to the land and focus on producing food, very few people will know what to do. Finally, therefore, when we get to, if a natural collapse were to happen, because that's something that's worth thinking about, most of these collapses that we've had in the past of civilization, yes, the civilization is perhaps already in decline due to the reaching a height of decadence, due to intelligent people therefore feeling a sense of dysphoria and not wanting to breed, due to us being evolved to be in a situation of death surrounding us, and due to intelligent people being more environmentally sensitive and less instinctive, and therefore not wanting to breed, or whatever it happens to be, or due to religion not hitting in and that happening more with more intelligent people, and therefore not wanting to breed, whatever the reason is. But the point is that when the natural collapse hits in, we will be in a much worse situation in terms of our intelligence and our ability to deal with the consequences of the natural disaster. In terms of our health and our ability to live through the natural disaster, and in terms of our skills and our ability to live through the natural disaster. So it could be much worse. And as I say, there usually is a natural disaster. So Rome was in decline anyway by the 500s. We know this in terms of per capita innovation. It had stagnated. Compared to classical civilization, rather, had stagnated compared to its height of major per capita innovation. And then in the 500s, you had the Great Justinian Plague. And this is in the context of a society which has been evolved to a warm period. There has until that time been a warm period. And so therefore, it's relative Darwinian ease. And so therefore, there's a ballooning of the population, plus the fact that it's very, very wealthy. And there's sewers and various innovations that the Romans had, which means that child mortality is reduced. So you've got this basically genetically relatively sick population. And then the Great Justinian Plague hits in and it kills not 40% of the population, which was what was killed in the Black Death, but 60% of the population. And that was the death knell of classical civilization. After that, we were 500, 600 years of just dodging along. Information was lost. We forgot how to animal husbandry. Animals get smaller. Glass stops being made. We really do go backwards onto the land. With the Bronze Age collapse of 1200 BC, it seems that this was caused by a volcanic eruption. We're not exactly sure where. Some people say Iceland, some people say a lot further south, but a volcanic eruption. Now, that was so appalling, and what that resulted in, of course, was it getting a lot colder. So the Justinian collapse, it got a lot colder, which was bad for them anyway, but then it meant that there was this plague as a consequence of that. But with the Bronze Age collapse, it just suddenly got a lot colder due to a volcanic eruption which created a nuclear winter for a very long time. So the civilization hardly held on. In Greece, it basically didn't hold on. All cities fell into ruin. And by the time the Greeks emerged from their Dark Age, about 800 years later, they looked upon the era of Troy, the era of Homer's Odyssey, that era, i.e. 1200 BC, as being mythological, as being the era of where the gods were from, as being the era of the gods. They didn't think it was real. They basically just started again. That is the era as well in which Moses comes about, in which the era of the gods, because civilization completely collapses in that era as well. It barely held on in Egypt and such other places, and it fell away completely in Europe, collapsed back into villages, into no towns whatsoever, into not holding on. So what would happen to us if we were placed in that kind of situation? Well, the result is obvious, because there should be, under normal Darwinian conditions, about 6 million people in England. That is what England can support under normal Darwinian conditions, under agricultural conditions, about 6 million people. If we're pushed back to hunter-gathering because our IQ is so low that we can't even do farming, then it's far fewer even than that. But let's say 6 million. So currently it's 70 million. So we're talking about a collapse of at least 90%. Based on just health and whatever alone. And it would probably be more than that, because it's not only the issue of genetic health, it's the issue of not having the relevant skills to be able to survive and so on. So imagine the situation if this occurred. One of the things that would be happening is you'd have this massive population of basically genetically sick, extremely low IQ people. They would be high in sexually transmitted diseases, and I've looked in other videos of the evidence that sexually transmitted diseases are on the increase among low IQ people in the UK. And you would have these people who would be among the highly intelligent, who would be religious, who would be conservative, who would be group oriented, and they would likely reject those people as evil. So even though they would have resources and so on, they would see them as kind of witches and just let them die. So this would contribute to the collapse. But let's remember the relevance of these ecological threats. But we have, for example, Asian hornets. Asian hornets are spreading throughout Europe. Asian hornets decimate hives. If hives are decimated, crops don't get pollinated. If crops don't get pollinated, we don't have enough food. We have the rise of infectious mosquitoes. As it gets warmer, then we can expect malaria and the malarial mosquitoes and so on to spread, to come back to Europe. Remember, we used to have before the mini ice age, which reached its nadir in about 1700, we had malaria all over Europe. So that's, even in Finland there was malaria. So malaria and things like that can be expected to come back. We have Japanese knotweed, which is on the rise and could just decimate the agriculture industry, meaning that we can't produce enough food. And we also have, and I know a lot of people here like to say it's a conspiracy or whatever, but we have global warming, or we have climate change, or whatever you want to call it. I'm not saying it's caused by man-made emissions, but it's a fact that there is climate change happening. It seems to be getting warmer at the moment, and this seems to be messing around with the salt in the oceans, and this seems to be causing ocean currents to change, and this seems to be interfering with the weather and all this sort of stuff. So you have a lot of threats to the environment which can make life much more complicated in a people with lower and lower IQ. Now, what this can do potentially is interfere with the ability to produce energy. France, for example, is increasingly reliant on nuclear power. Well, if you have low IQ, then it's increasingly difficult. You get more Homer Simpson grade employees. It's increasingly difficult to be able to basically keep the lights on. So we can expect to have power cuts and people having to survive those power cuts, and in a context in which people are utterly reliant on electricity, in which most people don't have fireplaces in their houses, in which most people probably don't even know how to start a fire. That is a very dangerous situation. Other environmental catastrophes, well, obviously there's flooding, that's likely to occur, and people are going to have to escape from that. Global current, as I said, and there is some suggestion that in the 2030s we're going to start to get colder again. As it starts to get colder, then obviously it's more difficult to produce food, so there's less food. And so there's less resources. Resources go up in price, and so therefore you get various problems there. A very serious potential problem is a solar storm. On the 1st and 2nd of September 1859, there was what is called a Carrington event, which is that there was a huge solar flare which came from the sun. Massively impacted the Earth. It completely knocked out the nascent electricity system that existed at the time. It caused telegraph machines to catch fire. It caused boats at sea that had telegraph machines on them to catch fire. It caused the people that were operating telegraph machines to get severely burnt. And it caused aurora borealis as far south as the tropics. Now, imagine what would happen. There are solar flares happening all the time. We are, in a sense, due a serious solar flare. There was a near miss, in fact, in July 2012, which, had it hit us, would have been apocalyptic and would have just knocked out the entire electricity system. There was another sort of near miss in Canada about 10 years ago, in a particular area of North Canada. It was cold, snowing, which knocked out the electricity system for a brief period, but it wasn't a particularly severe flare. Now, if there was a Carrington event, if there was a severe solar flare that hit the Earth, in a context in which almost everybody is reliant on electricity. And particularly if that happened in the winter, then the consequence, the death would be untold, and we wouldn't be able to survive. So it would knock the Earth back into the Stone Age. And we expect this to happen because one of the things that is occurring with the Earth at the moment is that the magnetosphere, which protects us against the impact of solar flares, is weakening. And there's good data on that. So if the magnetosphere is weakening, not only are we due a solar flare, it's more likely to have a massive impact as we have a weakening magnetosphere and we are therefore less able to defend ourselves against it. And by the way, if we have a weakening magnetosphere, then that means that solar rays is more able to get in, and that means that people's skin cancer and whatever goes up as well. But that's a minor thing compared to the consequences of a major solar flare just knocking out civilization, knocking out electricity, which is what we are reliant on. We are completely reliant on electricity, and most people wouldn't be able to cope without electricity. I mean, no electricity, no internet. And so for a start, we're totally reliant on that. We've stopped writing things down in books and so on. The whole infrastructure that you had when I was in my teens, pre-internet, has gone. So internet goes straight away. You've got to communicate via other means. The ability to heat your home using electricity goes. Everything goes if we don't have electricity. And that could potentially hit in. And you can see that that would cause a massive civilizational collapse. The hospitals go. Anyone that needs to have medical treatment is finished. And so you could imagine that that would cause mass death. Another possibility, again, we're due one. I mean, these things seem to happen not necessarily in predictable cycles, but they happen every so often, is a massive volcanic eruption. Now, a massive volcanic eruption is what took out the late Bronze Age civilization, as far as we know. It's been suggested possibly that it was relevant to the cooling period in the 500s as well. Now, we saw, those of you that remember, about 2008, there was a volcano in Iceland that erupted, and it knocked out aviation industry. The skies went grey. I remember in Oulu, you had this sort of dark rain that fell down with bits in it. Now imagine if it was a much worse volcanic eruption than that. The result would be a nuclear winter, and the result would be we wouldn't be able to produce enough energy, we wouldn't be able to produce enough food, and therefore you would have disorder, the collapse of civilization, and you would have mass death. So this may seem a rather pessimistic view, but it's something we have to seriously think about. Will our collapse be the same kind of collapse that happened in the classical collapse, where you're knocked out for 1,000 years or something, and then you rise up again, or even the late Bronze Age collapse? Or will we get to a situation where we keep going, our per capita major innovations are slowing down, but we have been able to produce so much capital, as it were, as a result of our brilliance in the 19th century, that we can keep going with the standards of living increase in the standards of living outpacing the increase in population, until we are extraordinarily genetically sick, until a massive proportion of us, let's say 90%, is basically so sick that they are reliant on the National Health Service or whatever, in which a massive proportion of us is so stupid that they can't possibly do any useful labour and are propped up by the other more intelligent 10% of us, in which a massive proportion of us have no useful skills that would help you in a practical situation during the collapse of civilization, in which a massive proportion of us are so stupid that we wouldn't be able to solve basic problems were there such a collapse. Until we have an IQ of, let's say, 70, and then this volcanic eruption occurs, or then this solar flare occurs. Now, the result of that would be an absolute collapse, in which hardly any Europeans or people from the West or whatever, people from advanced countries, would be left. We'd all be in part of this grid. And the only people that would obviously survive that would be the people that are living in the Amazonian rainforest, or living in the Nicobar Islands or whatever, Tana, Vanuatu, who would be off the grid and who wouldn't be impacted by this. But we would, and there would be just mass death on an unprecedented scale. I mean, it would be every man for himself. So I think that we should think about that. And that, what that would mean as well, if we had an IQ that was that low, we'd have to start again. I mean, we wouldn't be intelligent enough, the people that survived this, on average anyway, even to innovate farming. We'd be hunter-gatherers. And so this would mean it would take 10,000 years more to be selected for, to be intelligent enough, to be anything like we are now. So that is the more pessimistic possibility. And if you'd like to read more about it, then you can, of course, do so in the past as a future country. Well, I hope it's a bit of interest. If it has, please subscribe. It helps me violently if you do that. Remember, I live stream Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York. And if you want to help the show, you can see ways of doing so below. And I will see you soon. And goodbye!